Most Venerable Bhante Jnanishwara Ji, Venerable Bhikkhu Sangha and Dhamma friends, I am glad to have another opportunity to meet you all and say a few words about Dhamma. Dhamma as taught by the Enlightened One. Dhamma means universal law of nature. He had used these words as Dhamma Niyamta, the law of nature. He kept on saying again and again, Buddha or no Buddha, the Dhamma Niyamta is always there. The law of nature is always there. For example, the nature of fire is to burn. It burns itself and burns anything, anyone who comes in contact with it. This is the nature. We say it, Dhamma of fire. This is the nature of fire. Anybody who comes in contact, anybody touches fire is bound to get burned. The fire will not discriminate whether one calls oneself a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim, it burns. It does not discriminate whether one is white or brown or yellow or black, makes no difference. It will burn. If it doesn't burn, then it is not fire. It may be something else. And the nature of fire, countless years in the past, the same nature. Today also, the same nature. Countless years in the future, it will be the same nature. Dhamma Niyamta, the law of nature, remains Buddha or no Buddha. Buddha discovers, oh look, this is the nature, this is Dhamma. If you live in line with the law, you are a happy person. You come out of misery. You get liberated from all the miseries. If you break the law, you are punished. The nature does not discriminate. You have broken the law. You have to suffer. You are living in a country. The government has certain rules. You break the rules, you are punished. You don't break the rules, you live happily. The same thing, the law of nature, you break the law of nature, you have to suffer. The law of a state at times may be ignored. At times the punishment may take long period. You have broken the law. Then a case starts in a court. And then there is appeal from one court to another court, from one court to another court. It may take years. But the law of nature is such. You break the law, you are punished immediately. I should say simultaneously. Why? What is the breaking of the law? The nature wants you to keep your mind pure. The nature wants you to keep your mind pure. the moment you generate an impurity, the moment you generate a defilement, you suffer immediately. The punishment is there immediately. I generate anger. The punishment is simultaneous. The moment I generate anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, any negativity, I am bound to become miserable. Miserable then and there. Law of nature. Similarly, any defilement, passion, fear, ego, any defilement, you lose the peace of your mind, you lose the balance of your mind, you lose the happiness of your mind, you are a miserable person. You keep your mind pure, and pure mind by nature is full of love, compassion, goodwill, sympathetic joy, equanimity. These are the qualities of a pure mind. When you have pure mind, you get the reward then and there. It doesn't take time. As soon as you have your mind pure, full of love, compassion, you feel so much of peace, so much of harmony. You got the reward. Law of nature is such. And again, the nature of these contents of the mind, unwholesome content of the mind, by nature, makes you miserable. The nature of every unwholesome sankhara is nothing but misery. Similarly, purity, law of nature of purity is the result of peace and harmony. Law of nature. And this great super scientist discovers this law of nature and gives teaching. He's not interested in things which are irrelevant. I was very much fascinated by Buddha's teaching due to two reasons. One, as soon as I went to my teacher, Syaji Ubakhin, of course with hesitation, this is not my religion, this is another religion, I must be careful. I may not grasp something which is harmful. But as soon as I went there, he gave me a small booklet. And on the first page of the booklet was Kalama Sutta. As I was reading it, there was so much of thrilling experience in my mind. Here is somebody, a great person who says, don't believe. Don't believe because something is traditionally being believed. Don't believe just because something is believed by a large number of people. Don't believe that something is written in your scriptures. Even don't believe what I say. Wonderful. I've come from a tradition where I'm told you must believe. If you don't believe, you go to hell. And if you believe, you will get heaven. Just by believing, I will get heaven. And by not believing, I will go to hell. It is asserted, I am incarnation of God Almighty. So what I say, you have to believe. I represent the God Almighty. What I say, you have to believe. Here is somebody says, don't believe. Don't believe. You experience whatever is said, you experience yourself. Give a fair trial to it. And if you find that it is logical, and if you find that it is good for you and good for everyone, then only believe. And not only believe, then live that life. It gave me so much of fascination towards Buddha's teaching. I had not, till then, I never knew what the Buddha's teaching is. But this introduction itself, and my teachers told me, don't believe, just don't believe what I say. You are here to give a trial to the teaching of Buddha. Whatever I say, you work and see whether it is really, really good for you and good for everyone else. It doesn't harm you, it doesn't harm anybody else. Then only believe it, but you have to give a trial. So give a fair trial. And I started. And certainly I found every step that I took on the path was so helpful. Was so helpful not only to me, but anybody who takes step on the path is helpful. Buddha did not indulge in all types of intellectual games or emotional or devotional entertainments. Just the truth, nothing but the truth, and experienced truth. His teaching I found so simple. So simple. Anybody and everybody will accept it. So simple, so beneficial, and yet so hard, because you have to apply in life. It is not just to satisfy your intellect, wonderful, Buddha's teaching is so great. Not to satisfy your emotion or devotion, wonderful, Buddha was such a great personality. He gave such a wonderful dhamma. Nothing doing, you won't get. You have to apply. You have to practice. That part is hard. And that part is most important. Dhare iti dhamma. You have to apply dhamma, then only it is dhamma. Otherwise, what dhamma? It's not dhamma. In very simple language of those days, he describes dhamma, the teaching of Buddha. Sabba papasya ekaranam. Abstain from all unwholesome actions, sinful actions. Kusalasya upasampada. Perform wholesome actions. Sa chitta pariyodapanam. Purify your mind. Totality of the mind. Etam buddhana sasanam. Teaching of Buddha. Not only my teaching, he says. Teaching of all the Buddhas. To become Buddha is not monopoly of only Siddhartha Gautama. Anyone who completes the paramis, the sufficient quantity of paramis, becomes a Buddha. And every Buddha will teach only this, nothing else. Because the teaching is for the good of the people. It is not to prove that the teacher is such an intellectual person, look. It is not to fascinate the people by some devotional emotion. Nothing doing. You have to work. And simple language. Sabba papasya ekaranam. What is papa? Any action of yours which defiles your mind is papa, is sinful. Any action. When you defile your mind, you harm yourself and you start harming others. Every unwholesome action, physical or vocal, starts with the base of mind, defiled mind, unwholesome mind. And when you do anything with an unwholesome mind, you are bound to suffer now, and keep on suffering in future. Idha tappati, pechata pati papakari ubhayatthatappati. You perform unwholesome action and you started suffering now. And you continue to suffer even after death. Because the same mind with the same unwholesome contents, there's a flow continuing from life to life, from life to life. And you have accumulated nothing but misery for you. Because you keep on generating unwholesome sankhara, unwholesome actions, mental actions. All that accumulation will make you unhappy, not only now, but even in future. A law of nature. A law of nature, which is applicable to everyone. One may call oneself by any name, makes no difference. If you defile your mind, then any action that you do with the defiled mind is bound to make you miserable. Kusalasya upasampada. Wholesome actions. Wholesome actions are possible only if the mind is concentrated in a wholesome way. Kusal chittasya ekaggata. Mind must be concentrated, but with the base of wholesomeness. Mind can be concentrated in many ways. Mind can be concentrated with the base of impurity also. Many of the unwholesome actions are done with a concentrated mind. A pickpocket is very concentrated. He is to pick somebody's pocket. His mind is not wavering, he is very alert. A hunter who is killing the prey, very concentrated. Unwholesome, base is unwholesome. With the base of craving, with the base of greed, or with the base of anger, you get your mind concentrated. This is not kusal chittasya ekaggata. The base of the mind is free from craving, free from aversion, and free from illusion and delusion. That's an important thing. Many techniques were prevailing in those days, and they still prevail. You have an imaginary object, and you keep on concentrating on that, contemplating that. It's your imagination. You've not experienced it. It's not truth. Because somebody has said, you accept it. You read somewhere, you accept it. And you keep on contemplating. Mind gets concentrated, certainly. The shape, the form, the image of this deva or that deva, or this saint or that saint. You just close your eyes, keep on imagining, open your eyes, again close your eyes, imagine, open your eyes, close your eyes. A time will come that even with the closed eyes you can see that image, that shape. Mind is fully concentrated. So what? It's an illusion. A delusion is not the reality. Not the reality in the sense that you experienced the law of nature, Dhamma. The teaching of Dhamma that he gave was called Sat-Dhamma. Sat-Dhamma means Dhamma of truth. Truth is truth when you experience it. Somebody else's experience is not truth for you. It's truth for somebody else. So truth that you experience. And he gave you a wonderful technique. Your own respiration. You are experiencing it. The breath coming in. The breath going out. No imagination is involved. No verbalization is involved. There are many techniques. You keep on reciting a particular name. Keep on reciting. Mind is bound to get concentrated. Any word. Even this watch, you keep on saying, watch. Mind is bound to get concentrated. But difficult to say, watch, watch, watch. So wise people in the past said, all right, you got devotion in this particular deity or that particular deity. So keep on reciting the name of this deity. Yes? Because I have much confidence, so I keep on reciting. The mind gets concentrated. No question of experience. You are just a created truth, not the natural truth. Natural truth, you have to do nothing. Let things happen as they happen. Yatha bhut jnana dasanam. This is the way of the enlightened one. As it happens, you are aware. As it happens, you are aware. The breath, as it is happening, you are aware. That is why even not artificial breath, natural breath. If it is deep, it is deep. If it is shallow, it is shallow. Passing through left nostril, right nostril, touching here, touching there. You are just aware. Things are happening. You are just aware. You do nothing. A choiceless observation. Things are happening. What you choose is a small area where something is happening. Something is happening pertaining to the mind and matter. The breath coming in, the breath going out. The whole idea is that to attain the stage where no unwholesome action will be performed, only wholesome actions will be there, then you have to train your mind to remain with the truth without any impurity, the truth as it is. The breath is truth. When you breathe in, you don't crave for the breath. I want more breath. I want more. Nothing doing. The breath is there and you are aware. It's coming in. And the breath goes out. You don't have aversion towards it. This should go away. I don't like it. Nothing like that. Just observing. Just observing. Natural breath. Normal breath. You are just observing the reality as it is. Like you are sitting on the bank of a river and the river is flowing. You just observe the flow of the river. You do nothing for the flow of the river. You don't make it fast or slow. Nothing, as it is. So you keep your attention at the entrance of the nostrils and keep on feeling the natural flow of the breath as it comes in, as it goes out, as it comes in, as it goes out. Don't interfere with the flow of the nature, the flow of the breath. Mind will get concentrated. There must be some object or the other to make the mind concentrated. And in Sat Dhamma, Truth Dhamma, the truth must be the object. And truth is truth which you experience, not the truth experienced by somebody else. Your own experience, from moment to moment, from moment to moment. Without any craving, without any aversion, no lobha, no dosa, and without any illusion, without any delusion. What illusion? The breath is there. It's not imaginary, nothing imagination. The truth that you are experiencing. And with this object, more and more your mind gets concentrated. Then the second part, kusalasya upasampada. You are not performing any unwholesome action while you are aware of the breath and just aware of the breath from moment to moment, from moment to moment. First step, you have to abstain from all unwholesome actions. For that you require a concentrated mind, wholesome concentrated mind. Now the difficulty is, ordinary householder, anybody, ordinary human being, is full of defilements, and you ask them, don't perform unwholesome actions, mind is full of defilements. One understands, I should not perform anything unwholesome, I should not perform. Intellectually one understands, but still, one has no control over the mind. And occasion arises, one keeps on performing actions which are very unwholesome, very unwholesome. No concentration mind. And the same mind must be concentrated. It will be good concentration if you have the first part of it. That means you don't perform unwholesome actions. A big problem. The horse before the cart or the cart before the horse. How to perform it? So the tradition, a solution is there for a few days, in some cases 10 days, in some cases 20 days or 1 month. You enter a congenial place with least disturbance and a proper guide, and there you accept and work with all the five precepts. You won't kill, you won't steal, you won't perform any sexual misconduct, no sexual activity. You don't speak lies. You don't take any kind of intoxicants. The situation is such, the atmosphere is such, and you are asked, you are busy from morning 4:30 till night 9:30, there is no occasion for you to perform any unwholesome action. So you are living in a situation where you are performing wholesome actions. You are not breaking any of the sila. Then you start working, and you start working with the concentration of the mind, the second step. Sa chitta parayodapanam. You are aware of the breath. It becomes easy. You keep on breaking the sila, and you want to concentrate in a proper way. You break the sila, you want to concentrate. Not possible. You won't be successful. You observe all the silas, you practice, make the mind purer and purer, stronger and stronger. And then you will find in your life also, you are living with your silas, you are not breaking your silas. So that is why this situation where you have to become a prisoner, a spiritual prisoner, for a few days, keep yourself busy only with samadhi in the proper atmosphere. And this samadhi, without verbalization, without visualization, without imagination, without imposition of any philosophy, this philosophy or that philosophy, nothing doing. Breath, pure breath as it is, natural breath as it is. It may be long sometimes, it may be short sometimes. It may be passing through left nostril, it may be passing through right nostril. Whatever it is, just observe, do nothing. You have to do nothing. So easy and yet so hard. When you come to a course of 10 days, you will notice many students, I would say every student, the first day, a day of frustration. You are asked to observe the breath. You have to do nothing. It's no physical exercise. It's not a breathing exercise. You are asked to just observe the breath. You hardly observe a couple of breath, mind is gone somewhere. And then after some time you realize, oh, what is happening? I was here to observe my breath. What happened? And again you start. Again after a few breaths, mind is gone. And again you start. I have found the first day a number of students keep on complaining, this is not for me, I can't do it. I can't do it. Such a simple job. Just to observe it. And my mind cannot do. My mind is not fit for that. I'm not fit for that. And keeps on generating anger towards oneself, anger towards one's own mind. And the guide will say, no, have patience. Have patience. Mind has wandered away. So what? You have to accept the reality of the moment. You are observing the breath, mind wandered away. As soon as you realize mind has wandered away, just accept the fact, oh, mind has wandered away. Smilingly accept it and start again. The breath is still there. And you are working with the breath, mind wanders away, and you accept it. And you start again. Working like this, patiently, persistently. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. In 3 days, I have found mind gets concentrated to some extent, to the extent where you can take the next step. Mind gets concentrated, mind gets calm, and another important thing, mind becomes very sharp, very sensitive. Look, the wonderful teaching wants you to keep your attention nasikagge. That means etadagge, after this, that means after the nostrils, the place after the nostrils, above the upper lip. Uttarottas vemajjapadese, the upper lip, the middle part, the central part of the upper lip. He gave this important point, a very important nerve center. You are aware of this area and you are aware of the breath coming in, going out, coming in. These three things are important and all three are true, no imagination involved. No imagination involved, true, you are experiencing it. You are experiencing this part. Within 3 days you start experiencing some sensation or the other on this part of the body. Because constantly the breath coming in, going out, touching this area, going out, coming in, sensation is there. You are actually sharpening your mind. Within 3 days the mind becomes so sharp, so sensitive, it can feel sensations. Sensations are there throughout the body. Every part of the body, every particle of the body, every fiber of the body, every atom of the body, wherever there is life, wherever there is mind and matter coming in contact, mind and matter coming in contact, phassa paccaya vedana, sensation is bound to be there. So in 3 days, you reach the stage where you start feeling sensation on this area. Now, you are not breaking any precept, so first part, sabba papasya ekarnam, you are fulfilling it. Kusalasya upasampada, you are performing wholesome action. Every moment when you are not generating craving or aversion, every moment when you are free from moha, when you are free from illusion and delusion, is the most wholesome action of yours. Most wholesome action which will give wholesome result now as well as after. Idhanandati, pechanandati, katapunyo, ubhayathanandati. You are doing wholesome action now. So you are so very much happy. As you keep on observing it, without any craving, without any aversion, without any illusion, without delusion, piti, sukha, so much of happiness is there. And more you continue to be aware of this, the truth of the breath, the touch of this area, where the touch of the breath is there, where the sensation is there, you are on the right path. You are on the right path. Initially, it will be khanika samadhi for a moment. You are aware for a moment. The mind wanders away. You are aware for a moment. Mind wanders away. Khanika samadhi, khanika samadhi. It comes to upachara samadhi. Then you are coming nearer and nearer to appana samadhi, when you get absorbed in your object of concentration. But you start with this. You are aware. Mind wanders away. All right, you are still aware. You are aware. But you are always aware of the truth, nothing but truth. Wonderful teaching. Time is short, so we can't go for the third part of it. Sachitta pariyodapanam. To purify the mind, many techniques were there in India, even today and even in the world. As I say, you keep on reciting a particular word. Recite, 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 mind calms down. Concentration is there. And when the mind is calmed down, it becomes pure to a certain extent. The surface gets pure. Slightly deeper level also pure. But you can't go to the root of the mind. And Buddha found out the way how to go at the root of the mind. Where the impurity arises, where the impurity gets multiplied, where the impurity gets stored, and it forms a habit pattern for you, unwholesome habit pattern. That has to be destroyed. And for that, a particular technique was discovered by this enlightened person. This is a very deep subject, Buddha's teaching, and merely understanding at the intellectual level will not be of so much help as you really experience. And you are so fortunate, here you get Pariyatti as well as Patipatti, the theory of Buddha's teaching, which itself is so wonderful and so beneficial. It gives so inspiration to walk on the path, and the Patipatti. May all of you get best fruits of the teaching of the Enlightened One. May all of you come out of misery.